In a statement on oath to the United States House Armed Services Committee, General Michael Kurilla, who commands the U.S. Central Command, has strongly endorsed America's relationship with Pakistan and has said that Pakistan's support for the U.S. in the fight against terrorism has been phenomenal. Significantly for Delhi, General Kurilla has said, "We have to have a relationship with Pakistan and with India. I do not believe it to be a binary switch that we can't have one with Pakistan if we have a relationship with India. We should look at the merits of the relationship for the positives that it has." These remarks will clearly be troublesome for New Delhi. That's something we're going to be discussing.
General Kurilla, you talked about ISIS-K in Afghanistan in your opening statement. I'd like a little deep dive, if you don't mind.
Sure. So ISIS Khorasan, perhaps one of the most active in trying to do external plots globally to include against the homeland. Right now, what we saw is the Taliban, in going after ISIS-K, they hate each other, pushed a lot of them into the tribal areas on the Afghan-Pakistan border. Through a phenomenal partnership with Pakistan, they have gone after ISIS Khorasan, killing dozens of them. Through a relationship we have with them, providing intelligence, they have captured at least five ISIS Khorasan high-value individuals. They extradited back Jafar, who was one of the key individuals behind the Abbey Gate bombing. And the first person he called, Chief of the Army Staff Munir, was me, and said, "I've caught him. I'm willing to extradite him back to the United States. Please tell the Secretary of Defense and the President." So we are seeing Pakistan, with limited intelligence that we're providing them, go after them using their means to do that. And we're seeing an effect on ISIS Khorasan. At the same point, they are continuing to move around. Sometimes they'll try and go back into Afghanistan. We have the means to be able to collect. But for the most part right now, they're hanging out right in that border area of Pakistan. And I would also tell you that, I mean, since 2024, the beginning, Pakistan had over 1,000 terrorist attacks in the western area, killing about 700 security and civilians and 2,500 wounded. They're in an active counterterrorism fight right now, and they have been a phenomenal partner in the counterterrorism world.
General, whatever we have to do not to go back to that place would be amazing.
Why we need to, if I could.
Yes, Congress, please.
We have to have a relationship with Pakistan and with India. I do not believe it is a binary switch that we can't have one with Pakistan if we have a relationship with India. We should look at the merits of the relationship for the positives that it has.
All right. Well, joining us now, Brahma Chelani. We're also joined by Dr. Lauren Digan Amos, who's a researcher of foreign and security policy at the Bar-Ilan University in Israel, and Jonah Blank. Thank you all very much for being with us. Dr. Amos, for India, the fight against terrorism is something which has resulted in the deaths of so many. Countless civilians have lost their lives. We've been battling this for several decades. And we know, as does the entire world, that the hub of terrorism in this part of the world is Pakistan. And yet America says that they are our ally. Is there a fundamental dichotomy between what an ally should be saying and how it should be acting?
Good evening. No, I don't think that ally need to speak like that. But I also think that the United States, and especially Trump administration, thinks in geopolitical aspect. And when he see that Pakistan and China and Turkey involved in Pakistan, and they see how India is stronger than before, they need to realize that it's more important to be with India now, but they have a geopolitical aspect so that we can never realize what they really want. I don't think that Trump, but also the administration, understand the circumstances of this operation and how India and Pakistan, the relationship is changed in the years from 1947 until now. And it's another conflict. And India now, it's another narrative, another attitude. She's much more stronger than it was before.
Okay. Brahma Chelani, can America be trusted?
Vishnu, is increasingly clear that India is waging a lonely fight against Pakistani cross-border terrorism. Ever since India launched Operation Sindoor, not one Trump administration official has mentioned cross-border terrorism, the core issue that triggered the military hostilities. The revival of the U.S.-Pakistan partnership began under Biden and has since gained momentum. U.S. policy has long valued control. Pakistan, ever pliable, remains willing to do America's bidding. India, by contrast, prides itself as an independent power. So is it any surprise that Operation Sindoor has revealed the return of the U.S. tilt toward Islamabad? The infamous tilt, as you know, dates back to 1971, when the U.S. was more than complicit in the Pakistan military's genocide during the Bangladesh War of Liberation. U.S. and India may be close strategic partners, with Washington valuing India as a potential counterweight against China. But the American deep state hasn't entirely given up its Cold War era game plan of counterbalancing India on the subcontinent with the help of Pakistan. In other words, U.S. policy would like to use India against China and use Pakistan against India. To the simplistic Indian mind, this may seem crazy, but not to U.S. foreign policy, which for more than a century has focused on counterbalancing rising powers, including by driving a wedge between them or co-opting one power against another. The most famous example of this strategy occurred in the second half of the Cold War, when the U.S. co-opted China to roll back Soviet power and influence, a strategy that contributed to Soviet imperial overstretch and eventually to the Soviet Union's collapse. The point to note, Vishnu, is that just because America is India's strategic partner doesn't mean that Washington will not seek to counterbalance India's rise. The Biden presidency, for example, used the Pakistan card against India, including upgrading Pakistan's F-16 fleet to make it more lethal against India. Trump has merely taken off from where Biden left. Trump's approach has caused more shock in New Delhi because he was perceived by Indians as India-friendly, and India enthusiastically welcomed his return to the White House. I think we have to share some of the blame, because the Indian discourse has long been divorced from strategic realities. It's more focused on optics than on outcomes.
Yeah. Jonah Blank, this statement by the general, obviously America has to act in self-interest, but that just works completely against so much of what India and the United States have spoken about. You know, for him to say that, it's not one or the other, it's perhaps both, and we need to look at both, that seems to contradict the premise of the strategic relationship with India, where America's clearly picked a side, which we thought was New Delhi, but that is evidently not the case.
Well, thank you for having me, Vishnu. I think the real point here is Trump's attitude rather than General Kurila. Just as an inside U.S. government, how things operate, General Kurila is the commander of CENTCOM. So he institutionally is talking about the Middle East going up to the border between Pakistan and India. India is part of Indo-PACOM, and it's very common in U.S. government for the commanders of Indo-PACOM and the commanders of CENTCOM to have different takes. More important is Trump's essentially turning terrorism into a subset of immigration. He has completely given up on American support for India's counterterrorism goals and America's counterterrorism goals. Instead, he just slaps the label of terrorism on immigration. He does this for groups such as Venezuelan migrants, who he calls terrorists, and uses the legalities of counterterrorism to send people to prisons in El Salvador who have nothing to do with counterterrorism. At the same time, he ignores Pakistan's longstanding support for genuine terrorist organizations like Lashkar-e-Taiba and Jaish-e-Mohammed.
Ambassador Kawal Sibal joins us as well, former Indian Foreign Secretary. You know, I mean, Ambassador Sybil, it's so disappointing at one level to hear these remarks because we've really worked at that relationship with Washington. There are many in Washington who worked very closely with us to try and fix that relationship, which historically has not gone well. We've signed so many foundational agreements, disagreed on so much of that, but eventually found a way around it. And now you have this entirely transactional sort of attitude towards India. Now, that doesn't work for New Delhi, does it? What choices do we have?
Well, I think he's treating all countries, all his partners, very transactionally. Now, if India was especially targeted, I would say that we have reason to be extremely concerned that he was causing a huge setback to our joint efforts over these years to build mutual trust. But then look at the way he's treating his long-standing allies who stood with America through thick and thin, through world wars, through all the other wars the United States has conducted in recent years, Iraq, Libya, Syria, Afghanistan, what have you. So we need not feel singled out. That is one part. The other is that he is erratic. He changes his mind. He's unpredictable. He can step back from the positions he has taken, as you see in the case of Russia. Sometimes he understands what Russia is doing, seems to accept Russia's right to react. Other times he says that he's going to impose sanctions you've never thought of before on Russia. So this kind of a thing goes on. We have somehow to work through these coming months to see if we can stabilize the relationship through our interactions with other levels. Now, the point is that Trump is unchallenged within his own entourage. There are very sensible people around, whether it's Rubio or the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, and there are people in the Congress, but they feel all cowed down, and he does what he wants to do. So I would say that let's take it in our stride. Let's not get over-rattled by what he's doing. See if we can build on some of the agreements that we already have, the fact that we had a joint statement when Modi went there, and it's pretty elaborate. And as a result of that, we've had the first meeting. Vikram Sikri went there, and they had this meeting of this compact, which is a new version of the IPET. So we should try. And on the trade side, negotiations are going on despite all the threats that Trump is making and all the confusion he's causing by saying that India has agreed to zero tariffs and this and that. He's actually interrupting the solid professional work of his team by making these statements because they take a cue from him and they don't want to displease him. But nevertheless, the talks are going on. The assistant USTR was here and they're negotiating all this.
Sure.
I think we have to go through this bad patch as best as we can and look at the larger picture and look at beyond Trump and especially look at beyond 2 years of Trump administration, and we'll see what happens in the congressional elections, whether he loses the House, and if he does.
Jonah Blank, do you believe that...
Clipped or not?
Yeah, Jonah Blank, do you believe that from an Indian standpoint, perhaps India needs to look at this entire relationship from a transactional standpoint as well? America provides some weapon systems which are second to none. There's engine technology which America has offered. Semiconductors, we are working on this, that, and the other. That's great for the American economy in as much as it's important for us. But beyond that, America cannot be considered a military ally in quite the same way that India had wanted, at least not in the present regime. Is that the way to look at it?
Yes, I think that certainly under the Trump presidency, every relationship is 100% transactional. That's just who he is, as Ambassador Sybil quite rightly pointed out. So India should not expect that to change as long as Trump is president.
Okay. Dr. Amos, a final word to you. Do you believe that India needs to ride out this term of Donald Trump and that the fundamentals of the relationship between America and India are strong enough for us to actually go over things like that? And then once again, hopefully have America firmly on our side in the battle against terror, which emanates from Pakistan. And no two ways about that.
So I think that for India, you say it's very important. It's very a stronger power, global power in the world, that India should and have, must be with relationship and good relationship with her, because you don't have a lot of alternative, because Iran also provide terror and provide a weapon to Pakistan, China, Turkey. It's not the friends that you want, and I don't think they understand India and the position of India today. I think if you're looking on the past and all the, from the Cold War until now, India and United States understand each other, but it's very difficult. You know, they are not listening and they are not understand each other, even though they speak English, but the tradition, the culture is different. And there is nuance that the United States need to realize that India is in another position today in the world, right, for the economy, the largest country in the world. So America should do much effort with the counterterrorism, and especially in the GPC, with global power competition. India is a very stronger and important actor.
All right. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. We'll track this. Apparently, the Pakistani field marshal, that's what he's now appointed himself, is in the United States, or is headed to the United States at the invitation, perhaps, of the U.S. government. We're trying to get more details on whether that's the case.